Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 145 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and today our show will be all about work. We present a show with a focus on different work situations. We will listen to an interview with a plumber from New Zealand who worked in England and who is currently working in Munich, Germany. Furthermore, I interviewed an American manager who quit her job to found a non-profit organization in Tanzania. However, in our first category, Absolutely Committed, we will listen to a student from California about his experiences in the German workplace. Apparently, Kyle Hickman simply smiles too much.
I found it pretty easy because this is actually my third time here, and I noticed a couple of things. Is one, don't smile, don't be the typical, don't smile all the time, be that typical American.
Because then everybody thinks you're shallow. Then, in our second category, Absolutely Careful, Adelheid Kopp will tell us her opinion about Facebook and why she would never use it, neither in her private nor in her working life.
Because the other day I got an email saying that somebody would like to be my friend. Yeah. And I did open the mail because mm-hmm. it was addressed to me at my work address. And I don't know this person who wants to be my friend.
In our third category, Absolutely Helpful, we will listen to Judy McAlpine telling us about her non-profit organization in Tanzania. Before she founded the charity, she was a successful manager in the US. But then she quit her job to change her own life and that of others.
I've been fortunate enough to travel around the world, and I found myself in a place of wanting to get more involved as a participant versus an observer.
In our last category, Absolutely Tradey, Matthew Dunn, a plumber from New Zealand who worked in Canada and then in England and who is currently working in Germany, will talk about the experiences he made during his professional trips around the world. In his eyes, the craftsmen called tradies in New Zealand are treated very differently around the world.
I remember talking to my mum about it and saying, well, that's what I'd like to do, I don't want to go to university. And she said to me, well, the guy living across the road with the sea view, he's a plumber and we live on this side of the road with no sea view and we're not yes. plumbers, so you go do that.
But let us now start with our show. In the first category, Absolutely Committed, I talked to Kyle Hickman from California. At the time of the interview, Kyle was doing an internship with a big national newspaper in Germany and told us a little about the cultural differences he had noticed between California and Germany. For example, he seems to have detected a difference in attitude towards interns who are doing a practical training in a company. While he expected to be exploited as cheap labor, making coffee, copies, or cold calls, he noticed that his internship in Germany was really centered on the professional development of the intern, often even based on the intern's personal likes and interests. So from the beginning, Kyle was trusted with what he calls real work and was able to contribute to the success of the newspaper. However, he also found out that smiling too much in the workplace could be seen as suspicious in his host country and adapted his behavior accordingly. He did not find it difficult to integrate, though, as he grabbed every opportunity to be social with his co-workers. Listen out for what Kyle shares about eye contact and how he had to adapt to a different culture. I started by asking Kyle what kind of work he was doing in Germany.
I have Praktikum, which is basically an internship with the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, which is a huge newspaper. I'm staying here with my grandma.
Congratulations. That's one of the best newspapers in Germany, certainly.
Yes, it definitely is. It was honestly amazing to hear that I had this opportunity to come here and work during the summer.
During your internship, did you notice that the Germans were doing things differently from Americans?
Well, you see, actually, this is my first experience working for a real big company. But based on what my friends told me back home, it is very different having a practicum, an internship here, because it is a lot more based on helping develop the intern and help them learn about the company in all aspects.
So that means they didn't only ask you to fetch coffee and make photocopies?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've heard some horror stories from internships back home of coffee and getting lunch for everyone or making copies or cold calls.
So actually this is about your development. They are trying to figure out what you need to develop?
Yes. They combine two aspects. One, they try to get me to view the whole organization based on my interests of management and communication. And also they've given me some real work and they've trusted me to do some actual things that I could see. So it's right. Been very nice.
Did you try out any tricks how to get integrated more easily when you arrived?
I found it pretty easy because this is actually my third time here. And I noticed a couple of things. Is one, don't smile. Don't be the typical, don't smile all the time. Be that typical American.
Because then everybody thinks you're shallow.
Yeah, exactly. So you do want to slightly adapt to where you are. Just for a little bit. Like a little Trojan horse so you can sneak in. But I did that. And when I did smile, it was a lot more genuine. And then also any opportunity to be social with my coworkers or my friends, you jump on it. Because it means a lot when someone from your work invites you in a German workplace. So I instantly, yes.
There is one other thing where I take Americans to the side and explain something to them. This is when they come over as visiting professors. Before I take them into my classroom, actually I warn them that my students will not smile at them, that they will be listening very attentively and they will come up to me afterwards and say, gosh, that was a really interesting lecture. Why don't we have lecturers like that over here?
When I was here for a student exchange program, we put on a show for a bunch of German students, and there's no smiles and the clap. You could barely hear the clap, and we're like, what's going on? I'm a person who loves to make eye contact and say hi to anyone on the street, and coming here, it was a big cultural shock, and I mean, I'll make the eye contact still, but there's no smile, so I feel like they either want to fight me or they don't like me. I think a lot of it is cultural, and I don't know if it comes maybe from Great Britain, but it is nice. It's validation. It just makes it more pleasant and friendly. So it is it's a cultural thing that I think Americans do like and enjoy.
We can imagine Kyle's culture shock. What Americans enjoy as nice, friendly contact, for example, greeting people who we do not know in the street and acknowledging their presence with a smile, can be seen as too intrusive or superficial in some European countries. I always notice this when I enter a lift, or in this case, an elevator in the United States, and people who I've never met before in my life greet me and smile at me. Where in Germany, we really pretend we are alone in the lift and look at the floor. In England, you notice that when people get off a public bus, they sometimes say thank you to the bus driver. Whereas in Germany, the bus driver would remain totally anonymous, almost as if he or she was part of the bus. I liked this English behavior and tried it out in Germany. But as you can imagine, the bus driver in Germany frowned and thought there was something wrong with me when I said thank you on my way out. In our next category, Absolutely Careful, I will talk to Adelheid Korb. She's responsible for the so-called incoming students at Rhein-A campus. Students from our partner universities who have been in contact with her often want to add her as a friend on their Facebook accounts. However, Adelheid is suspicious of being part of this biggest virtual community in the world. So let's find out why she doesn't want to be part of this big social media hype.
I wouldn't dream of putting my personal data into a forum where I don't know what's going to happen with those data. And we've all heard those stories about data gone missing or data being stolen. And to me, I can't see myself being in control of what I do. Right. And my suspicions actually have been fed now by Facebook itself, because the other day I got an email saying that somebody would like to be my friend. Yeah. And I did open the mail, because it was addressed to me at my work address. And I don't know this person who wants to be my friend, but underneath it said, you might also want to talk to these people. And there were addresses of
friends
or people that I would like to contact. And they're all students at Rhein-Ahr campus with whom I've had some contact in the past, but not necessarily over a long period or very often. And I thought, what is happening here? How did they get all these data? How were they able to match up all these data?
Right.
And I thought, I don't really like this. And then the other day, I got another one. This time, another person wanted to be my friend. And this time, other Rhein-Ahr campus students were mentioned as possible contacts, etc. Right. So I then wrote to Facebook and said, how do you get these data? And how can you match up my name with these students' name? I never received a reply.
They probably get millions of mails like that every day. So you notice that actually before you even enter Facebook, there is already a network there waiting for you.
Exactly. And then people ask you to be their friends, and I don't want to be friends with these people. So what do you do? Sort of all the social complications. Life is complicated enough as it is, and I don't need all those complications. I'm quite happy contacting people by email, even via an internet website or telephone, but I prefer face-to-face contact. Yeah. I like students come into my office, I can sit them down and we can have a proper conversation, a two-way conversation, not a one-way conversation. So maybe I'm old-fashioned in this respect, but I'm a bit wary of not being in control of what happens with data, not only my data, but also with students' data.
Well, Adelheid is probably right. Life was difficult and complex enough before we had Facebook and Twitter. Sharing your personal information and pictures on the internet can indeed sometimes perhaps be harmful for you and your career, so please pay attention. In our next category, Absolutely Helpful, I interviewed Judy McAlpine from the US when we both met in Cambodia earlier this year. Judy was a very successful manager for a huge company in the US, but then she transferred all her resources and overtime into a two-year stay in Tanzania, where she lived in the villages with indigenous people and founded a charity. JUAF is a registered non-profit charity located in the Kikwi village of Tanzania. In partnership with indigenous women, Judy founded a village with resources for vulnerable women and children to empower them to fight poverty. This is done through microfinancing, education, and also support. Check out their blog for more information. But why would someone like Judy give up her well-paid job in the US to move to a third world country? I asked Judy about the charity she founded.
It's a charity called JUAF, and JUAF in Swahili means to be understood, or the sun. And it's a village for the empowerment of women and children. And it's based at the base of Kilimanjaro, Mount Kilimanjaro. And we have about 8 acres of land that we purchased. And we are truly just creating a village to help empower women and children. And we focus primarily right now in education and microfinancing.
Okay. How did you get involved? Or are you one of the founders of that charity?
Yeah, I am one of the founders. And the way I got involved was I decided to take a two-year sabbatical from corporate America. Mm-hmm. I was a business person my whole life. I just stopped finding meaning in what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I had always been fortunate enough to travel around the world. And I found myself in a place of wanting to get more involved as a participant versus an observer. Mm-hmm. I would come away from my travels and find that I really didn't know the local culture.
Okay.
And a way to know the local culture is to really immerse yourself in the culture. So I quit my job and I moved to Tanzania for 2 years, and I volunteered in the area of microfinancing, and I lived in the villages for 2 years. I didn't go on any safaris. I didn't do any of the tourist route. I lived in the villages. I learned microfinancing. I worked with a lot of grassroots NGOs, nonprofits, and I worked with the women and really understood their issues. And then I met this really wonderful woman who is my co-founder, and she's a Tanzanian. Her name is Asha Maruma. And we would sit there many times talking about our vision and how we would love to create something together. Mm-hmm. And so we both decided to start a nonprofit to empower women and children. And I needed her as a partner because I live in America. And I knew that I wasn't going to be living in East Africa my entire life. And is my partner who runs it every day as the executive director on the ground. And then I live in East Africa 3 months a year. So now I live in America, and I do consulting, business consulting, and I live in East Africa 3 months a year helping her run the project. We have 100 women on microfinance loans, and our typical first loan was $100. And we had to educate the women for 3 days on what is a business, what's a profit, what's a loss, how do you run a business, and how do you save money.
Wow, I really admire Judy for taking the risk of leaving her well-paid job and starting a charity in Africa. Judy really struck me as an influencer who has a direct impact on many people around her, not just the 100 women who are currently on a microfinance loan, but also all those around them who get educated in the same process. Now, in our last category, Absolutely Tradey, I interview Matt Dunn, who is a plumber from New Zealand. He has traveled a lot around the world for his work. He worked in Canada and in England. Right now, he's living in Munich in Germany. In every step of his life, he experienced different cultural situations. In the interview, he will tell us about the differences in reputation between tradies in New Zealand and craftsmen in Europe.
I think it changes from place to place in certain aspects, but I think not so much necessarily just in the individual trade, but as a handworkers as a whole, tradesmen as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Some countries seem to be stuck in the dark ages with tradesmen, that they seem to be the dumb guy that comes out of school and can't find a job anywhere else, goes into the trade. Yeah, in Germany, I think it's a bit difficult. I find that tradesmen in Germany are quite low paid, to be honest.
It's funny because usually people complain that they are paying more for somebody to call in to repair the washing machine than if they call in somebody to teach their children to play the piano.
Yeah, quite possibly, but the guy who's doing the work's not getting that money generally. With the German system, that everyone has to have a Meister, and I think in some ways too, because a lot of the companies are so old, for the average guy that's going into work for one of those companies, he tends to be a long way down the food chain. In comparison, what I earn currently in Germany is equivalent to what I was earning in London 12 years ago. Probably Germany to New Zealand's a very easy example. In the last 20 years in New Zealand, a lot more people are going to university and people are tending to steer away from the trades. So those guys that do get into it have then become sought after, and it's changed the makeup of the workforce. I mean, I did quite well at school and decided to go into the trades because I worked in my school holidays doing it and thought it was a good idea. And I remember talking to my mum about it and saying, well, that's what I'd like to do. I don't want to go to university. And she said to me, well, the guy living across the road with the sea view, he's a plumber and we live on this side of the road with no sea view and we're not plumbers, so you go do that. I think a lot of it's to do with the change in education, the change in what people want to do or what people can do. There's less people interested in the trades. And that's caused then a shortage of workers, obviously, and what people can do in the industry and how easy it is to start up and start working for yourself is all a lot easier. But then if you compare that to Germany, where the education system's a lot more restrictive as far as going to university goes, and also there's a huge opening, I think, for overseas workers to come from your Poland and Turkey and what have you, that same phenomenon hasn't occurred. And so those guys that are still at school that are going into the trades here, from what I've noticed, apprentices that we have in our company tend to be the guys that can't get into the university or can't get in anywhere else and are stuck doing that, and all the rest are coming from overseas. Plus, of course, there's a great influx from the east that's kept the workforce full.
Well, it is true that the same profession may have very different prestige and reputation in different countries. I was personally surprised during my time in Australia to find that tradies, unlike their often bourgeois German counterparts, would mostly be very good-looking guys with cool hair and cool lifestyles and a surfboard on their cars, so that in between two customers, they would often hop on their boards and enjoy the surf. On page 3 of cheap newspapers in Australia, you would sometimes even find the picture of a shirtless tradie of the month. Now that's it for today. We heard a lot about different working experiences around the world. At first, we heard Kyle Hickman about the differences between German and American internships. Then Adelheid Korb told us why Facebook could be dangerous. Then Judy McAlpine told us about the reasons why she quit her job to found a charity. And finally, Matt Dunn shared his opinion about the reputation of tradies in different countries around the world. Now, thank you all for sharing your personal experiences with us. We really appreciate your participation in our podcast. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 14th of October. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.